Minister Steinmeier, dear Frank Walter, Minister von der Leyen, dear Ursula, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it's really a great pleasure and a great honor to be here today and to join you in celebrating the 60th anniversary of the fact that Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany, joined NATO 60 years ago. When we prepared for my participation in this celebration, we went down to the NATO archives. And in the NATO archives, you find a lot of different things. And this time, we found actually 15 sketches, which are made by a war artist called Manuel Bromberg. And he made a lot of sketches from that very day when Germany was invited into and joined NATO. And you will have all of them afterwards, but this is one by of Konrad Adenauer. And I actually learned that he was both then the Chancellor and the Foreign Minister at that time. So we have a lot of nice ones. You will have 15 afterwards, some kind of presents from present from the NATO archives to you. That day in 1955 marked an end, but it also marked a beginning. It marked the end of West Germany's status as an occupied country, and it marked a new beginning where Germany was once more an equal and sovereign member of the international community. Just 10 years after the end of the Second World War, 14 NATO allies were ready to put their trust in the young Federal Republic, a country that had proven itself worthy the trust, and became the 15th ally. Germany's accession to NATO anchored it firmly in the Western community of values, a community based on freedom, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. It enabled West Germany to regain its place at the heart of Europe and at the heart of the emerging transatlantic community. It led the way to the founding of the European Economic Community as the first steps along the road to European integration. And it made possible the eventual reunification of Germany 25 years ago. This journey from enmity to the closest friendship is reflected in my own family, as it is for so many people. My grandfather was a prisoner of war, but despite his experience, he became a true friend of Germany. As did my father, who was stationed here immediately after the war as part of the Norwegian Armed Forces. And I am proud of representing them today. And I'm honored to represent NATO, and I regard myself also as a true and good friend of Germany. And if you promise not to tell anyone, I have been here 5 times since I became Secretary General of NATO. So I really like to go to Germany. Throughout the Cold War, West Germany was considered a frontline state. If there was to be a Soviet invasion, its tanks would roll first over German soil. But West Germany was protected because Article 5 of NATO's founding treaty states that an attack on one is an attack on all. Article 5 is the strongest commitment that sovereign nations can make to each other. It sends a clear message that no country in this alliance will face a threat alone. This is the essence of the NATO alliance. We stand by this commitment today and always. Germany benefits from this commitment, and Germany contributes to it. because Article 5 is both a fundamental commitment and a fundamental responsibility. Throughout the Cold War, West Germany was the centerpiece of NATO's collective defense. It shouldered a heavy burden with massive military deployments on its soil. But this also established the Federal Republic as a respected and influential ally. Generations of Allied soldiers, sailors and airmen spent part of their careers stationed here and formed enduring friendships with the German people, including our current Supreme Allied Commander, General Breedlove. And as Frank-Walter just said, West Germany played a major role in the development of the famous Harmel Report. Strong defense combined with dialogue. This formula became the foundation for NATO's approach to the Soviet Union and eventually contributed to the end of the Cold War. A strong alliance was the foundation for Germany's Ostpolitik, which aimed to gradually overcome the division of the country. And when the opportunity for national unification finally came, the bond between Germany and NATO once again proved its value. At the time, there were concerns about the direction of a unified Germany might take. But Germany's membership of NATO made these concerns redundant. Instead, a reunited Germany became the heart of a free, democratic, and united Europe. And at this momentous time in Europe's history, we had the first German Secretary General at the helm of the NATO alliance. With Manfred Werner, both Germany and NATO had the right man in the right place at the right time. Werner also defined NATO's new role following the end of the Cold War. He described the new role as von der Friedenserhaltung zur Friedensgestaltung. This is what NATO set out to do, and it is what NATO has done ever since, and it is what we will continue to do. After the Cold War, a united Germany proved itself as indispensable as ever for NATO's success. NATO's military intervention in the Balkans was a major test. For the first time in NATO's history, we managed crisis beyond our borders. This was a huge step for the alliance and a huge step for Germany. This was a region where memories of two world wars were still very much alive. But putting an end to the bloodshed in the Balkans meant taking some risks. And in the end, the risks paid off. Through NATO, Germany sent planes and then deployed forces. Your country took responsibility for the security of others. Today, the Balkans are no longer a powder keg. In Kosovo, NATO is seen as a guarantor of peace and security for all people. And the countries of southern Eastern Europe are finally returning to the transatlantic fold. The challenges of Afghanistan was even more daunting than that of Balkans. But the alliance did what we set out to do, to deny international terrorists safe haven and to give the people of Afghanistan an opportunity to shape their own future. Germany has played and continues to play a leading role in helping Afghanistan secure itself. Deploying brave and professional men and women that you can be very proud of, and whose sacrifices we all honor. When I visited Afghanistan some months ago, I took part in a moving service at the memorial for the fallen in Mashar-e-Sharif. The strong bond between Germany and NATO also proved vital as we opened the doors of the alliance to the new European security democracies. Germany's role was essential for NATO's enlargement. Germany made the case for giving the new democracies in Central and Eastern Europe a home in NATO. The enlargement of NATO and the European Union has been a historic success, and Europe is the better for it today. Germany also laid the groundwork for a new relationship between NATO and Russia. In the NATO-Russia Council, we offered Russia a unique degree of access to NATO, and it enabled us to work together on many issues of common concern. NATO enlargement and our engagement with Russia yield enormous dividends, and over the past 25 years, we were able to move ever closer to a Europe whole, free, and at peace. But today, armed conflict has returned to Europe through Russia's annexation of Crimea and its continued efforts to destabilize eastern Ukraine. A conflict that has already cost more than 6,000 lives. Russian leaders now speak of a zone of privileged interest. We risk returning to a time when great powers held sway over smaller states, when nations were not free to decide their own fate. This could create a sphere of instability for us all. It is not the sort of Europe we want 25 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall. The path to peace in Ukraine remains the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. Agreements brokered by Germany together with France. And I thank Chancellor Merkel and you, Frank-Walter, for your tireless efforts. Germany is also the driving force behind the European Union sanctions against Russia. To make clear that breaking the rules has costs and consequences, and we are determined to defend the values that we hold dear. NATO does not seek confrontation with Russia, nor do we seek its isolation. And we will not be dragged into a new arms race. We still aspire to a constructive relationship with Russia, one that benefits the Euro-Atlantic security and the whole international order. But Russia has changed, and we must adapt. The formula of a strong defense and dialogue is once again deeply relevant. Russia is our biggest neighbor. The question is not whether we are going to have a relationship, but what kind of relationship we are going to have. During the Cold War, West Germany benefited from NATO's cast iron guarantee of collective defense. Today, allies from Central and Eastern Europe look to NATO to provide that same guarantee. Germany is not longer a net recipient of collective defense. It is now a critical provider of collective defense. Germany is playing a central role in NATO's readiness action plan, the most significant reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. And just a few days ago, I had the honor of visiting the first deployment of this new high readiness force, the Spearhead Force, in West Poland, where it did its first exercises together with Ursula. And that was great to see that NATO has actually delivered increased readiness, increased preparedness, and to see the professionalism, the dedication of the German soldiers, and to see how German soldiers work together with Polish, Dutch, Norwegians, and many others, and also to see the great symbolism of Germany and Poland and allies working together as one in this big exercise in the eastern part of Poland, in the western part of Poland. And I think that just once again states and shows and demonstrates that the alliance stands strong, ready, and united. But strength needs resources. And at our NATO summit in Wales last year, all allies pledged to increase defense spending over the next decade to 2% of GDP. German leadership on investing in defense is crucial for our alliance and also for the European Union. I commend Germany for taking steps towards implementing this pledge. And I thank you for the announcement that the cuts have stopped and that defense spending is going to increase. So I count on all of you to continue making the case that defense matters and that our new strategic environment requires new spending and new capabilities. Dear friends, the stories of Germany and NATO are forever linked, and they are stories of success. Germany and the alliance need each other to defend our values, to keep our nations safe, and to protect peace in Europe and the world. From that day in 1955, Germany has been a political and moral force for good, and it has been an anchor of stability in NATO. Germany has been a staunch ally ever since, and I'm truly proud to be able to celebrate that event together with you today. And as I told you, we went down to the NATO archives and we found the sketches, but we found even more, because we found documents, pictures, letters, and a lot of different things which are documenting the whole process of Germany joining the alliance. From the first original letter of invitation to join the alliance to the final accession document signed by all the foreign ministers of all the NATO allies 60 years ago. So we have the sketches, and then we have the book where you can, see the pictures of these, old men, because there were only men at that time. No female foreign ministers or defense ministers. And the different documents where the whole process is illustrated, and the people who took part of it is in this book. So, Frank Walter, this is to you and Germany as a token. Yeah, you decide, actually. As a token for the gratitude and the honor we would like to express today to you for being such a staunch ally for 60 years. Thank you.